Let us pray. Lord God, as we come to consider awesome and wonderful truths about your Son from the Scriptures, we pray and ask for the power of your Holy Spirit, that he would make your love known to us, that he would apply it to our hearts and lives. Set us on fire with these great truths, we pray, for the glory of Christ. Amen. Please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, which in the church Bibles you can find on page 544. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, and we'll actually begin to read from verse 43. Let us hear God's word. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. For he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. I imagine you saw in the news that just 2 weeks ago, Mark Bridges was convicted for the murder of the Welsh schoolgirl, April Jones. If you remember, that was the incident where the whole village desperately searched for her when she was missing. But it was too late. Throughout the trial, Bridges denied his guilt. He argued that April had been killed in a car accident, and that then in his panic he had tried to cover it up. But the evidence didn't lie. A forensic scientist named Emma Jones testified in court that a trail of blood had been found in Bridges' home. And when tested, it matched April Jones' DNA. And so despite his strong protestations, the evidence was enough to convict him, despite his denial. The evidence didn't lie. Now, in essence, that is what the Lord Jesus is saying in verses 43 to 45 in our passage. The evidence doesn't lie. He says, the fruit of a person's life does show you what is in their heart. By fruit, he means outward actions, your words and your deeds and how you treat others. This fruit, your outward actions, is the evidence of who and what you really are. And it does not lie. Good fruit only comes from a good tree. Good outward actions only come from a good heart. Bad fruit only comes from a bad tree. Bad outward actions only come from a bad heart. The fruit doesn't lie. That's what he's saying in these verses. Your outward actions show who and what you really are. Well, this morning I want us to consider that biblical principle, that truth, and what it has to say to us. And consider it from four different ways. First, as wisdom for everyday life. Secondly, what it teaches us about having a bad heart. Third, what it teaches us about having a good heart. And finally, what it teaches us about Jesus Christ himself. So please consider with me what he says here, that the fruit doesn't lie. And I want you to take this, that this is a general principle for everyday life. You see, Christ is saying this as if it's a general truth, a proverb. It is a wisdom saying. Christ, in doing this, is really summing up much of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Now, wisdom is the art, not a science, but the art of applying eternal truth to the rough and tumble of the real world. It's figuring out how to bridge the gap of what God says things should be and the reality of what they are in a fallen world. Wisdom is how you try to work out how those come together. How do you apply biblical principles to decisions where the Bible isn't necessarily always clear? That's what wisdom is. And he's giving this to us as a statement of wisdom that applies to all of life, whether you're a Christian or not. Human actions reveal what is in the heart. Now, as an example of where he's drawn this from, if you look at the book of Proverbs, he says this it says it there in many different ways. For example, Proverbs 23 verse 7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. The exact same truth. Now, Christ is giving this to us as a general principle to help us make wise choices and judgments. He's giving us practical advice how to navigate our way through life, and in particular, how to deal with other people. Don't you find that the most difficult thing in life is how to deal with other people? Isn't that the hardest thing? Well, Christ says, remember this. A man's actions show what is in his heart. Remember the context that we looked at last week. Christ is teaching us how to treat other people graciously. In fact, how to help them even when they sin. How to treat them graciously when they've done us wrong. In verse 37, he instructed us not to judge other people or condemn them. We considered last week that this meant we must be gracious and merciful, patient with people. We're not to judge people in a harsh way or a hypocritical way. We've got to take the speck or the plank out of our own eye before we can help somebody else with their sin. Deal with your own sin first before getting involved with others. Be humble and gentle to others, but tough on yourself. But you can't live without making moral judgments. No way you can go through life without having to make some kind of judgment about people and who's trustworthy and who should you believe. Well, how then in a positive way do you do that? Well, this is the answer, Christ says. Judge people by their actions. Perhaps, if it's helpful to grasp what he's saying, consider the opposite. How Christ says we're not to judge people. You're not to judge people by their race or their colour. It was just an accident of birth. You're not to judge a person by their background, their culture, by where they come from. You're not to judge people by appearance, by their looks or by beauty. You're not to judge a person by their wealth or their social standing. You're not to judge a person by their success or failure, whether that is in sporting or physical or business terms. And you're not to judge a person by their gifts or by how able they are. You're to judge a person by their actions, by the content of their words and deeds. Martin Luther King Jr., in his famous speech in Washington shortly before his death, summed it up well against the backdrop of the racial divisions of the United States in the 60s. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the colour of their skin, but by the content of their character. So Christ forbids you, if you are his people, to have any kind of racial or prejudicial discrimination against someone. His church is open to all who believe in him. Now I put it to you that we need to hear this call today, because actually this principle is being lost in our society. Especially in modern Britain, we are riven by divisions along ethnic and racial and social and economic grounds. We are divided as a society. And then as a counter reaction to that, there's a kind of positive discrimination that's taking place, where certain minorities and groups are being given privileges above the majority. Well, Christ affirms a better way. Judge by words and deeds, by character. Now, in particular, Christ points to two things: our service of others and our words. Our service of others and our words. In verse 44, Christ seems to draw an analogy between fruitful trees being known as a source of food and good people being known by their deeds. So the picture is that a good person should be like a fruitful tree who provides life and help and shelter to others. Now that's an image that again he's drawn from the Old Testament. Consider Psalm 1, how it describes a righteous man. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. In all that he does, he prospers. It means that a righteous person is known by the fruit of the help they give to others. People in need can come and find shelter beneath them and receive food, literally and spiritually. So in particular, the measure of a man is how much good does he do to others. Apply this to yourself. But secondly, our words. He says, out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Your words show who you are. He says similarly in Matthew 12. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Or Proverbs 10. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Judge a man by his words. Is he someone who gives thoughtful, godly advice? Can you go to him knowing he will speak lovingly and graciously? Or does he speak with anger, impatience and hostility? When you could take this as a general principle for life, you'll find it's actually remarkably helpful. Just consider, it means you must not try to judge a person's motives or sincerity. Well, we all do that, don't we? When someone disagrees with us, we think, oh, well, you know, they must have some nefarious purpose behind this. They're trying to pull something over on me. And we like to attribute bad motives to people when they disagree with us. But you must not think that way. Love thinks no evil. Judge someone by their actions, not what you think is in their heart. It means, too, you should commend the right action, even if it comes from a mixed heart. Do you know what I mean when you've ever done the right thing, but you've done it with a heavy heart, and you have to force yourself to do it? Well, from this perspective, that makes the action even more worthy, because you overcame yourself when you did it. Now, in someone else, you can commend their good action, even if you think that they're struggling to do it. Don't judge any more than by what you hear and see. But on the flip side, it also means don't be naive. Sometimes it's wrong to give somebody the benefit of the doubt if they prove themselves through their words and actions to be false. There is evil in the human heart. In essence, this is a link to what Christ says in Matthew when he says, don't throw your pearls before swine. If someone does bad things, be wise. Don't open yourself up to them. When considering who should influence you in life, what Christian books you should read, what preachers you should listen to, what church you should belong to, this is how to tell. Jesus makes that specific application in the parallel passage in Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. So don't be swayed by how successful somebody is, or by their charisma, or their charm, or their popularity. Judge them by their character, their actions and their words. Don't judge a man by his gifts, but by his quality. And it's reassuring in a way that Christ considers that the best people are not the smartest or the strongest, the most beautiful or the most able, but those with the purest heart, the kindest, the most humble, the generous and the loving. So first, simply take this as the proverb which Christ quotes, as a general principle as to how to live. Judge by word and action. But then we must specifically apply this principle as Christ does. And secondly, we see that bad fruit doesn't lie. Bad fruit doesn't lie. Christ speaks about the person who has a bad heart being known by their bad fruit. Now, you need to hear that this morning because we are all so good at fooling ourselves. I once read of a survey that was taken among death row inmates among several prisons in the United States. Some of the most brutal men ever convicted. They had multiple victims. They had tortured people. They committed sadistic acts of violence, cruelty, men sentenced to death. And this survey was about their own self-perception. How did they view their own crimes? And when they were asked, "Are you a good person?" every one of them said, "Yes." And they said things like, "Well, I've made some bad choices, and bad things have happened to me. And I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I was influenced and led astray by bad people." And the most common phrase they used in response is, "Although they'd done some wrong things, they were good people at heart." Deep down, their hearts were in the right place. Now that's perhaps a graphic example, but a true one of the kind of lie we all tell ourselves. We all try to fool ourselves and cover up our sins in that way. We excuse our sins and blame them on circumstances and other people or just bad choices. And we cling to this belief that somehow there is a part of us deep down that is good, that means well, that is sincere and pure, and that somehow it doesn't have anything to do with the bad that we do, our bad actions. Christ cuts right through that deception. He says, if you've done bad things, it's because you've got a bad heart. As human beings, this is the biblical way to understand human nature. We're not made up of separate parts that don't talk to one another. It's not as if your heart is over here doing one thing and you're saying and doing something else. We are a whole, a unity as a human being. Your heart is manifest in what you do. If you sin, it is because you are a sinner within. So do not hold on to this fig leaf of an excuse and just say, "Well, it doesn't matter what I've done, because somewhere within I mean right." Face up to the reality of your sin. If you've done wrong, deep down, it's because there is sin in the centre of your being. That's the awful truth, that bad fruit doesn't lie. I've met so many Christians who just live however they please, who neglect coming to church, who live a life of sexual freedom in a way that Christianity forbids, or that who you have foul language, or that you break anyone and every commandment, but they say, "Oh, it's okay, because in my heart, I believe in Jesus." No, you don't. No, you don't. Your actions show what is really in your heart. Perhaps you know the true story of a man called Jim Fix. He was the author of the bestseller, The Complete Book of Running. And he ran on average 80 miles a week. He appeared to be in tip-top shape. It didn't seem that in his 50s you could see anyone in better condition. But at 52, when running alone on a Vermont road, he suddenly died of a massive heart attack. His wife Alice later said, she was certain that he had no idea he had a heart problem. Why? Because he refused to get regular checkups. After his death, doctors speculated that his heart was so strong he wouldn't have had the telltale chest pains or shortness of breath that usually signal a problem with the artery. You see, on the surface it looked well, but underneath the heart was rotting. Judge by the fruit. Is there sin in your heart that must be dealt with? Bad fruit doesn't lie. Don't be deceived about yourself. We are radically sick as sinners, and we require rebirth, heart surgery. We need the Holy Spirit to change us on the deepest level possible, or we are lost. Bad fruit doesn't lie. But third, good fruit doesn't lie. Good fruit doesn't lie. A good person will be known by their good actions. Now remember, in the context of this sermon, Christ is describing Christians. He's describing what his people should be like. So certainly, this is how we should look at this. Indeed, in Matthew's account of this sermon, he records that Jesus does make a specific application of this principle to Christians. A true Christian has the deeds to prove it. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." Do you hear what he's saying? Faith without works is dead. Just having a profession of faith, just saying you are a Christian, doesn't matter much at all. Faith must show itself in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. A true Christian walks the walk, not just talks the talk. So the terrible question that the Sermon on the Mount asks of you is, are you sure that you are really a Christian? Are you sure you're a Christian? Is there the evidence, the fruit in your life to show it? Is there the fruit of repentance, of confessing and leaving sin? Have you been changed? Do you read Scripture? Sacrifice for Christ? Pray to him? Serve him? If you don't have this fruit, you are not a Christian, or at least a doubtful one. It doesn't matter what kind of mystical experience you may have had, what warm, gooey feeling, or what good, sincere intentions you may have. Fruit is what is required. It doesn't matter if you came forward once long ago and said a prayer, whether you grew up in church. The rule is, no fruit, no heart. Are you sure this morning that you're a Christian? Where is the evidence of the changed life? Indeed, the Bible goes on to teach that God will judge us by our fruit or lack of it. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 is but one example. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. In the parable of the builders that we heard in that passage, normally people use that to say it's about bad things coming into your life and how Christ will sustain you through it. That's not what it's about at all. The storm he speaks about there is God's judgment. He's meaning the coming storm of this day when all will give an account to God. And he's saying, are you ready and prepared for that day? It's those who live and do my word who will be ready. There is a judgment by fruit and by works. On that day, Christ will be looking for fruit. Indeed, there's a picture from the Old Testament where God describes his people being like a vine. And how on that day of reckoning, he's coming like the owner of the vineyard to come and see what the fruit has produced. Now, this does not conflict with salvation by grace at all. We do believe that salvation is a wondrous free grace apart from our works, apart from any merit of our own. But the key thing is, the two cannot be separated. Grace and works must go together. True grace produces a changed life and works. If there are no works and fruit, it was never true grace. Works are the evidence of grace in the heart. No good works, no grace in the heart, no salvation. So the call here is to say, what will you have to show on that final day? Does your life now show the fruit of being a Christian? Do not be deceived. Good fruit doesn't lie. Are you sure that you are a Christian? But there is also a final application for us. What does this principle tell us about Jesus himself? the fruit of Christ's life doesn't lie. What can we learn about his heart? Who is the Lord Jesus? Who is he really deep down? Well, judge him by his words and actions. His words. He speaks words that are full of grace and hope, love and mercy, unlike anyone who's ever lived. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. I have come into the world as light. Whoever believes in me will not be left in darkness." In his words he says, come to me. If you're burdened with that sinful heart, you realise just how lost you are. Come to me. And my words are gracious. I will not judge. I will not condemn. But I will heal you and save you. That's what we see from his words. His love and invitation to be your saviour. And judge him by his deeds. He's perfectly righteous. Even his enemies could find no fault in him. But he kept the law. And he ministered to the sick and diseased and dying and never turned anyone away. And you see his compassion for the poor and the outcast and the estranged and the lonely. He's the defender of the widow, the lonely, the weak. He challenged the rich and powerful, was never afraid to confront them. He devoted his whole ministry to others. Thousands were fed by him, healed by him, given hope, forgiven, lives transformed. And judging by his actions, he dies on a cross. He dies not for the good, but for sinners. There you see what is in his heart. There you see the abundance of love that Jesus Christ has for you. So believe in him. Come to him with your heart. Come to him if you don't think you're a Christian. And ask him to change you and put fruit in your life. Ask him to change your heart this morning. If you follow on with me, this image of a fruit and it producing life. Did you know about the world's biggest tree? It's actually got a name. General Sherman. It's a sequoia redwood in California. And so it's an evergreen. Its branches are always fruitful in that sense. And as it's been measured, it has a volume of 1,500 cubic meters. That's more than half the volume of an Olympic swimming pool. It's 2,000 years old. It's 270 feet high. It's 84 meters, which is 84 meters. And it's 25 feet in diameter. It has its own ecosystem. Can you picture how big this tree is? That's Christ. That's Christ, this mighty redwood that you can come and shelter in. This mighty tree that will never be moved, who is always green, full of grace and love and mercy for you. So don't be deceived. Hear what he says about the human heart. And ask, what do my actions say about me? And if they point you to needing a saviour this morning, then look at Christ's actions to see his heart and know that he's a saviour for you. Believe on him and be saved. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, King and Saviour, we call upon your name to help us. Lord, we confess that we are sinful people, that our lives have failed to show your glory. Oh, please forgive us. Heal us and save us by the power of your death. Please transform us this morning to be raised up to live a new life and to show forth fruit to God. Oh, Lord, give us new hearts, that we might live for you. To the praise of your name, blessed Saviour. Amen.